And now it's time for the Coach's Show with Sterling Head Football Coach Dan Harris on Sterling High School Radio. And welcome to another edition of the Coach's Show right here on Sterling High School Radio. I'm your host, Rob Strauss, joined by Tad Kozineski, and as always, by Sterling Head Football Coach Dan Harris. Coach, welcome back for another show.
Thank you.
Coming off of the Autobahn game, a rainy, disgusting, wet, cold, any raw, whatever other word you want to come up with to describe that game, monsoon-like. Mm-hmm. 20-12 loss on this one, and some really, really tough field circumstances as well.
Yeah, just a couple breaks didn't go our way. But at the same time, you know, a couple breaks did go our way, and we didn't capitalize on it. So, you know, I just, you know, it is what it is.
We've talked about our playing conditions at our field for a long time. In fact, the administration of the school went out for a school bond that got rejected. What was your overall take? Because it was the first time you've had the opportunity to play on our field under bad conditions based on your coaching and playing career. What do you think overall of the field?
I've seen worse. Last year we played on our field at Riverside Thanksgiving, and the conditions were really bad. The only thing I noticed was certain spots. I don't think it was the whole field. It was just some spots where, you know, a little were tough sledding. But the sidelines were pretty bad. But, you know, you play on the field, not the sidelines.
Now, how is that going to set up the field for future games? You guys are – this is the second of four straight home games in the month of October. How is that going to affect you guys, the field conditions, since it was so torn up last week against Autobahn? How is that going to set you guys up for upcoming games?
We don't approach it any differently. You know, just got to be conscious of the certain spots and then, you know, some play calling, you know, situational stuff. You know, maybe it could work to our advantage at times.
It was interesting, Rob, in the game, and Coach, your offense relies a lot on your fullback, Demir mm-hmm. Hutchinson. First play of the game, Demir's out. What's the mindset then? How did the kids react? I know as coaches, you're like, all right, next guy up, but how did the kids seem to react and how did the game progress from that point?
We actually had two linemen were out as well. To start the game, we didn't have them. One was Chris Wittenberg, senior captain. So I thought that hurt big time. Then Demir went out. We were kind of prepared for that because, you know, it was a nagging injury that he had. But he was all cleared to go. You know, then he took a hit the first play on offense. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, took him out of the game. You know, I don't think, you know, we got guys that can get the job done. So, you know, we just got to, you know, next guy up.
Sterling found themselves in a 14-0 hole just about 3 minutes or so, 4 minutes or so into the game. Touchdowns from Furlong and also Shane Snyder with a 4-yard touchdown run for Autobahn. But then C.J. Barrett comes back, nice little 10-yard run of his own, really starting to come in his own as a sophomore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, C.J.'s doing a great job. You know, I think one thing kind of, you know, not making mistakes as a quarterback in those situations and during the game, I thought he made some pretty good decisions throughout the night. You know, one ball, you know, the conditions weren't the best with the wind, and the ball got pretty heavy. So I think that hurt us at a couple times during the game.
For an underclassman starting his first couple games, how has he been for you? How's his progression been?
Yeah, great. You know, I think he's one of the kids that shows up and does everything he has. So, you know, and it shows on the field.
Is there anything that you guys are specifically working on with CJ? As far as from a leadership standpoint, that is starting to blossom, even though he's only a sophomore, like Tad said, anything specific that sets him apart from anybody else?
As far as like coaches,
just from a practice standpoint, from a, you know, likability standpoint, I'm sure he's a great kid because obviously you have him in the starting lineup. Mm-hmm. What is he working on in practice? What do you guys have him working on mostly in practice?
It's usually just the footwork stuff. I think the leadership comes with maturity and experience. Which he's gaining, so you know, he's on his way there.
It just, the game lends itself to the quarterback being the leader, and just knowing how young guys are. You're gonna have seniors out there, in theory, following a sophomore. Has CJ worked through that, and has the other players worked through that?
Yeah, I think the team as a whole, it's been a slower process than I thought. As far as everybody coming together, we're still working on a lot of things as far just accountability and. Next guy, you know, preparing for practice if somebody's out or whatever. So, you know, that's just been the big process where CJ is, you know, at times, you know, he's shown those qualities. He's more of a quiet kid, but you know, he leads by example. He does everything that's asked. He's one of the guys. You know, last week he's cleaning up the field. I didn't have to call anybody back to clean up the field. He's one of the guys that's, you know, so that those type of things stand out to me.
When you played Audubon, and we talked about Audubon the week before as being a prolific passing team. Now, obviously, the conditions maybe dictated the way that game was going to be played. Were you surprised about anything that Audubon showed you in that game defensively or offensively, that stuff that you didn't think you'd see, or just some surprises you saw from Audubon, or you pretty much got what you got?
No, well, we defensively, we game planned for the wide open spread stuff that they do, but they were more two backs and a tight end running the ball. Once in a while they took a shot down the field. It was just that, mainly that. And then again, when we were on offense, defensively, they've shown different defenses, so we didn't really know exactly what they were going to do. They pretty much gave us the same look that Haddonfield did. Sweep was the play there. Different plays were there, and I thought at times the field conditions, I think, messed up our footing, but we didn't do a great job of staying on blocks on Friday night.
Their first touchdown, the pass play, how tough is it, especially under those conditions, as a defensive back to stay with the play like that? Because from when we were in the press box, it looked like he was in pretty good position to make a play. What was your take on that?
Well, in our coverage, he let the guy release inside. He's not supposed to do that. Instead of just playing, we talk about it because the field condition. I think it gets in their head a little bit, and then they're a step slow because of the conditions, and they're a little hesitant. So when you're thinking about that, then what you're schooled to do sometimes, is on the back burner, and some things you'll mess up on the little things.
How about as you look back once more, some positive things? What were some positive things offensively and defensively you took out of the Audubon game?
Defensively, we played better. I thought we're finding certain guys to get the job done on the D-line to step up. We're starting to get used to the style of defense that we play with the responsibilities. We're getting better at it. We're not great. But we definitely improved Friday night. It was just a couple of big plays. We fumbled the ball on our first possession. That really hurt us. We had close to 300 yards of offense. We moved the ball, pretty well at times. Drop pass and fumbles, and just mistakes. That comes with inexperience. We're going through some growing pains. The positives. Certain things stick out to me. The coaches we talk. Right as it happened, Charles, scores a touchdown, and then on the kickoff team, he's the first guy down. He makes a tackle. We're looking for more of that stuff. Those things don't show up in the stat book. He made a great hit. Setting the tone. He's ready to go. So certain guys. Lorenzo Bay. He like I said, the game plan kind of changed as the game progressed, and he's back at safety, and where he hasn't really played. He had an interception. So the certain seniors are stepping up. We're just looking for some other guys to step up and show what they can do.
How difficult was it for the kids to get used to a very, very cold night? Kickoff temperature around in the upper 40s with that wicked wind out of the northeast and the rain and everything. How difficult was it for the kids to adapt to a condition in the very first week of October that you usually don't see until mid to late November?
Yeah, I thought that was tough. You could see the kids huddle up on the sidelines. I think we got to prepare better. We talked about it for a few days with the kids. It's going to be cold. It's going to be wet. Certain kids were ready, and again, they're just inexperienced. They're not used to that kind of stuff. And I think the big dip in temperature, you could mentally say you're going to prepare for it, but physically, your body says otherwise.
And it was very difficult on all phases. We talk about, Kevin talked about it because Kevin played in college as well. Defensively, it's a big challenge on a field like that against a team like that. Is that kind of how you read that, playing on a day like that against a team like that? Those are the players that are really challenged the most, your defense, because of the situation?
At certain positions, I think one mistake with a defensive back can be a touchdown in those conditions because you can't really recover because you don't have your footing. But I think overall we did pretty well on defense. We gave up 3 touchdowns, but off a turnover, and then the one drive was, I believe it was 2 penalties on 3rd downs. I'm still trying to figure out where the penalty was. We got to overcome these things. We got to just stay with a positive attitude.
unofficially five straight turnovers in a row on five straight possessions by both you and Audubon. Mm-hmm. Obviously, up and down the entire East Coast that night, and even into Saturday was a tough way to nobody played a clean game. Let's put it that way. Another out of town score. Triton beat Highland on a safety, 2-0. I don't know who had the home run in the game, but a crazy game. Have you ever played in a game similar to that where it's just wet and raw and in your playing career?
Yeah, I remember very distinctly my senior year consolation game against Pensgrove, 2004. So it was just pouring rain. I remember just every time you're on the ground, it was just water splashing up everywhere. The sidelines were soaked, and the field we played on it helped you know, got rid of water pretty quickly, and the conditions were pretty bad. But I remember, you know, it was a fun game. You know.
And it's interesting you say that, because when you're down the field in games and situations like that, you see certain guys, especially the upperclassmen, they look crazy. Like, this is great. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. Then you might look at some of the faces of some of the other underclassmen, and they're like, they're not quite sure what to make of this there. So is a lot of it your mental approach when you're coming into situations like this?
I think it's just maturity and experience. You know, the kids that you grow to appreciate it, especially your senior year, that, you know, this is my last chance. This is a pretty neat experience, you know, to go out and enjoy it, because, you know, it's not uncharted territory. It's kind of, you know, it's something they've done before or have seen done before.
The field obviously got pretty tore up. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how the rest of the conference wound up making out in terms of whether they played on turf or on the grass field, but it's the same circumstances for both. I mean, field's still wet, ball's still going to be wet. Maybe just not as muddy on a turf field, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Sterling drops that one 20-12, and they drop to 1-3 on the season. Now, looking ahead to West Deptford tonight, this is technically an away game for Sterling tonight, but it is being played at Sterling because of all the renovations to West Deptford's field. What are you looking at out of West Deptford tonight? Obviously, a perennial powerhouse in the Colonial Conference. I believe they are number one in South Jersey Group 2 right now.
Mm-hmm. I'd have to check that. They're tough. They're on a roll right now. You know, they beat Haddonfield opening night, and they've been rolling since. So it's going to be we have to fight for four quarters to contend with these guys.
Now, mentally, it's interesting from a coach of a high school team, and I'm speaking from another program, there are certain team names you bring up. For us, it might be Haddonfield in baseball. Football, it might be Paulsboro. It might be West Deptford. What do you think your kids' attitude has been in practice this week? Because sometimes you just hear it's West Deptford week, and the kids just start to be not quite themselves. How have they taken it so far?
Yeah, the coaches' staff, we're upset about the current state of things. So I don't even think we haven't really, you know, the kids know we're playing West Deptford, but the coaches, we turned up the intensity this week, and it hasn't been the focus on that. The focus has been on Sterling football. So we're going to continue to do that. We have to make a shift in the way we do things.
When you get West Deptford, you know what you're going to get with Coach Folsom. He's been doing it since he came to West Deptford. How do you go about defensively trying to maintain their offense and what they do? And who are some of the key positional players defensively that are really going to have to read their keys in this game?
With running a style of offense that they do, it's more assignment-based, depending on what they're trying to do. So, I have an idea of what I think he'll try to do against us, you know, with our style of defense. But it's more assignment-based. I can't say one position over the next. Any mistake can cost you at any time. You know, if it's a third down or a first down, and they're chunking off yards on first down. I don't know. It's really assignment based defense. You know, playing this style of offense.
The misdirection that they run in a lot of their plays can really. In past years, we've seen some linebackers get taken out of plays. We've seen some defensive ends getting taken out of plays. How tough is it for a player in the secondary playing against an offense like this?
Well, we're not a zone team, so it's a little bit different for us. It's more about our linebackers. So, if they get fooled, you know, it could be big gains. So we have to stay disciplined.
Is there something, if I'm a linebacker playing in your system, and they run one of their base offensive plays, what are the linebackers looking for? I've heard Schulz has talked about they're looking at tackles sometimes. They're looking at certain things. What exactly should our linebackers be looking for? And people at home, if they're watching the game.
Our reads are a little bit different than traditional defenses, where because we're we're, I don't want to give too much away here, but man-to-man, we're everybody says key to guards, and that's always something that we do. We read near back. We step with the near back, and we read the guards. So, those are our keys. So, we step with the near back. If the guard doesn't pull, that the back's taking us to the play. If the guard pulls, the guard's taking us to the play. So we have to see two things at once, which is, is pretty tough to do, but, the kids can do it.
So on the front line defensively, they're kind of trying to hold their gaps. Is it up to the linebackers then to kind of read that play and move in and fill a gap, or is that how you play this defensively? I'm trying to get a little deeper in this.
Well, our defense is it's a double eagle. So what that means is 2-3 techniques, and they're hitting the guard every play. And what they're doing is keeping the guards from getting to the linebackers, where in a 5-2, like a West Effort runs, their tackles are hitting the tackles, and then the linebackers are reading the guards. So it's two different styles with, they're both sound. So it's really just about doing your assignments. So
you mentioned the injuries too. Chris Wittenberg and to Demir Hutchinson. What is their status for tonight's contest?
Wittenberg should be good to go. Demir is out. He's out. He hasn't practiced all week.
Okay. Any timetable on when he's going to get back into the mix, or do you guys have any idea, or is it just kind of like a day to day kind of thing?
Yeah, he's got to get checked up with the doctor still.
Okay. Looking ahead to the forecast, we mentioned the madness that was last weekend with the monsoon. Another chance of rain here coming up on tonight's game against West Effort. Good thing is we played in it last week. You guys should be pretty used to that. Mm-hmm. Weather going to play a factor in this one as well?
I hope not. I hope it's just two football teams not affected by that, and the better team coming out on top, or the team that plays better.
I like to play something like chalk talk with our coaches here when we talk to them. You're in the locker room before the game. What's two or three keys to the game overall for the Sterling football team?
I think number one has to be turnovers to me. We're negative a lot. I don't know the exact number because of last week. But I would say turnovers. The second one would be on offense, staying on our blocks. And then on defense would be, like I said earlier, assignment-based stuff. Everybody doing their assignment and then getting to the football.
How important is it in just about any game, especially a game like this, for you guys, I want to say even to win the toss, to take the ball and take some control? Is that still the philosophy where you go? If you guys want to try and establish something early, maybe play with the lead if you can?
Every week it kind of varies. I talk with the staff, and then and again, you got to win the coin toss, to make that happen. So, it's a chance thing, and usually we'll take the ball.
Because usually when we're playing someone like West Effort, it's good mentally for the kids. It just feels like whatever the coach thinks, what is better mentally? Is it better for us to be on defense first to maybe stop them and get them to punt somewhere, or is it better for us to get a feel and run? I just didn't know where you kind of feel against West Effort. What are your thoughts going into that?
Usually we try to – you got to look at different factors like the weather, the wind, and then the strength of, the other team's strength. So what do they do well? Are they going to get good field position? Do they have a good punter? Those different things.
We haven't a chance to see West Effort here at Sterling yet. Are there some numbers you can point out to our listeners? Some when they have the ball, who are some numbers that we should look out for when they're anywhere near the ball?
As far as their backs,
offense,
their
yeah.
backs, their whole backfield. They I think number 5 has had the most carries on their team, and then 25 and 20 split it up pretty even. But 25 kind of moves around from fullback to wingback, so he. They use him a lot in different stuff. Where 20 comes in, he's a fullback. 21's a wing, but he hasn't touched the ball as much as the other guys. They like to run their quarterback a lot, number 11. He's a big, tough kid. And then they have some big linemen up front. 55's a big kid. I think he's one of their better linemen. So they got some size. You can tell they lift weights. So, that's a big factor for them. But, they don't have one guy over the next on offense. They're very even.
Now, as I'll let Rob ask after this, because it's all spread out, is that a good problem or a bad problem for Sterling on defense as opposed to Keen on one guy?
I think there's pros and cons with everything. I think it could lead to our kids, not focusing just on one guy. If one guy has a big play, then they just focus on that guy. Then one of their other guys can have a big play. So, I could say it's beneficial for us in that aspect, I guess.
One more crazy question, and we'll let you get out of here. It is an away game for Sterling. Technically, what side of the field will Sterling be on? Are we going to be on the home side that we're used to, or is it going to be one of those situations where we're going to be looking at Sterling on the far side with the smaller bleachers?
I'm pretty sure we'll be on the home side. Let me double check what the AD.
I hope so.
I would hope so too. It's just a weird scenario where an away game for Sterling is being played, ironically,
now,
at Sterling.
Are you aware of the schedule for next year? Do we?
Yeah, my understanding, unless I could be wrong, is it's supposed to be. Yeah, they'll have back-to-back years at West Dufferin.
Okay.
Should be an interesting contest. We're going to get that kicked off just shortly. Coach, as always, thanks for showing up and doing this show with us. Appreciate it every week.
Great. Thank you.
All right. That's going to do it for this edition of the Coach's Show. For Tad Kozineski, I am Rob Strauss. Kickoff coming up shortly, Sterling and West Dufferin. You're listening to Sterling High School Radio. We're back right after this.